welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering shows from the golden age of radio. Mark Levone, you're your host for an hour of sitcoms. Later on, we'll hear Meet Millie from 1951, but right now it's The Great Gildersleeve from NBC and their second season on air from October 11th, 1942.
Mark A. presents The Great Gildersleeve. The makers of Parquet Margarine present each week at this time Harold Perry's The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton. Now let's join our friend, the Great Gildersleeve. We find him in the land of Nod, sleeping the sleep of a man who has put his car up on blocks, bought his full quota of war bonds, and saved 4.5 pounds of bacon fat. While outdoors, Jack Frost has been preparing a little surprise for him.
What is it, Leroy?
Are you asleep?
Not now. I'm not. What do you want?
Do you see what I see?
I don't see anything. Go away.
But look outdoors. Look out the window.
Daylight. Take it away.
No. Get up and look. Look at the trees. Look at the ground.
Daylight. It gets all over everything.
But I'm trying to tell you, Unc, it's been snowing.
Well, tell Bertie or somebody. Don't come by. Did you say snowing?
If you don't believe me, get up and look.
It can't be. 30 days, half September, April, June, and...
Here's a handful of it on the windowsill. Look.
By George, it is snow. Snow in October. Why, it hasn't snowed in October since the blizzard of 88. And that was in January.
Look. You can see your breath, Unc.
It must be freezing.
You're darn right it's freezing. The thermometer's down to 25. And you know that hole that Mr. Clanahan dug in the front yard?
Yes.
The snow's filled it up. You wouldn't know it was there.
Oh, my goodness. The water pipes will freeze.
Yeah, they will.
That Clanahan's a fine water commissioner. I've been after him for 6 days to get that hole filled in. Ooh, listen to that wind. Close that window, will you, Leroy?
Come on, Unc. The house won't get any warmer till you get up and start the furnace.
Leroy, I wish you wouldn't drag in these unpleasant truths so early in the morning.
Well, come on, get up.
Don't stand there staring at me. Go down and tell him I'll be right down. Tell Bertie to keep the coffee warm.
All right, go back to sleep if you want. But Bertie's making buckwheat cakes.
Yeah, I don't... Buckwheat cakes? Oh, buckwheats, one side. Gang away. The floor's cold. Where's my bathrobe? Where's my bathrobe? Bertie! Oh, I slept in it. Never mind, I found it, Bertie. Hold the buckwheat.
More coffee, Uncle Mark?
Thank you, my dear.
Pass your cup, will you? Hold it still.
I can't. I'm shivering.
I'll hold it, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Ooh, that's worse. Grab it, somebody.
I'm sorry. I'm all over goose pimples.
Why don't you go put a sweater on, Bertie?
I got on so many sweaters now, I can hardly bend at the elbow, and my teeth chattering like a pair of dice.
Marjorie, take a look at that thermometer there, will you?
I can tell you from here, Uncle Mort. It's cold.
Yes, we'll have to do something about this. While you're up, my dear, hand me a cigar, will you?
What do we do, all sit around it and warm our hands?
No, Leroy. We go out to the garage and we bring in some firewood. And I do mean you.
Oh, me and my big mouth.
I'm going to call up Clanahan right now before those water pipes freeze.
Better put your rubbers on, Leroy. That snow is wet.
Oh, I don't need any.
Put your rubbers on, young man. Hello. I want to speak to Commissioner Clanahan. He won't be in? The fine water commissioner he is. And you can tell him I said so. The commissioner is not expected in today. And if anything happens to those pipes, it's on him. Oh, Leroy, close the door. As soon as Leroy comes back, I'll go down and see if I can start old Vesuvius. Bertie?
Yes, sir?
Bertie, have you ever had any acquaintance with a furnace?
Oh, I know how to work it. You just fiddle with that little doohickey out in the hall.
But that was last year. Last year, we were burning oil. With coal, there's a little more to it.
Oh.
Nothing difficult, you understand. I think you'd be very good at it.
Thank you.
Anybody who's as good as you are with a shovel.
Oh, the shoveling.
Well, that comes into it. But it's not all shoveling.
Well, I don't know about that. I know how to run that doohickey. I ran it last year.
That doohickey is called a thermostat, Bertie. I wanted to speak to you about that. As I remember it, you ran it last year at about 80.
You said 70.
Yes, and I used to set it at 70. But the minute I got out of the house, you sneaked it up to 80.
Well, sometimes it gets colder than others.
Now, this is serious, Bertie. This year, we got to save fuel. The temperature is going to be set at 65 degrees, and that's where it's going to stay.
65? Maybe it's going to stay, but I ain't.
Oh, you wouldn't leave us, Bertie.
Yes, ma'am. I can't work in those 65 degrees. I'll go on away from here.
Oh, no, Bertie.
I'll go for some work for somebody else if I have to.
Calm yourself, Bertie, and just remember this. If anybody offers you more than 65 degrees this winter, they're traitors.
Huh?
You don't want to work for traitors, do you, Bertie?
No, sir, not me.
Well, remember that. The government says we've all got to help save fuel, Bertie. And the way to do it is to hold the temperature down to 65 degrees. Besides, 65 is warm enough for anybody.
65 won't hatch no eggs.
No, but it'll keep you on your toes. It'll keep you from falling asleep at the broom.
Well, if the government says so, I guess that's the way it's got to be. But if it's all the same to the government, I'm going to buy me some woolies and sew myself into them.
And I'm going to start looking at fur coats.
Fur coats? Oh, brother, there we get into inflation.
Oh, that's Leroy.
Huh?
He's probably got his arms full.
Yeah.
I'll let him in.
Yeah. Oh, close it, Leroy. Close it.
Here's the wood. Where'll I put it?
On the dining room table would be very nice.
Wise guy. Quick, move the fire screen, Bertie.
There.
Can I light the fire on?
Before we do that, young man, let's get down to the cellar and start the furnace. I want to teach you how to take out the ashes.
Holy smokes, do I have to do all the work around here?
Oh, no.
I don't see what you had to go and change the furnace to coal for anyway. The oil was working all right. There wasn't any ashes. You didn't have to get up in the morning and shake it. It never went out. It was swell.
It was swell, all right. It was a comfort and a convenience. But we're going to have to give up our conveniences, Leroy. There isn't going to be enough oil to go around this winter. That's why we're burning coal. It doesn't have to come so far, so it's easier to get.
Well, it's no easier for me, I can tell you that.
Look here, young man. You want to help in this war, don't you?
Well, sure I do. I'd go right out and join the Navy. If they'd let me, why, so would I.
Me too. Did I say that?
I think we all want to help. But I'm too old to join, Leroy, and you're too young. We've just got to help in the only way we can and here at home. So remember, every time you carry out a load of ashes, you're in the fight as much as the next man.
Well, how about you getting in it too, Unc?
Even me? I'll get up in the mornings and wrestle with the furnace if it kills me. And I don't have to tell you, young man, when Uncle Throckmorton gets up off his pants, this country is really all out.
Put it there, Uncle.
Yeah.
Let's go down and shake the insides out of that furnace.
Very good. Ah, the heat's beginning to come up. I'll have it as warm as toast here in a jiffy, Marjorie.
Now remember, Uncle Mort, 65.
Yeah, that's as warm as most toast. The only trouble is, if this cold snap lasts 3 days, we'll be out of coal. I'd better call up and order some more.
Yes, you better.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I should have done this before, my dear. Hello? It's Summerfield Coal Company. I want a ton of coal delivered to my house this afternoon. In a week. That's a fine way to run a coal company. What's your name? Flanahan. Well, this is Gildersleeve. No wonder you're such a rotten water commissioner. You spend all your time peddling coal. Now you listen here, Flanahan. I want a ton of coal delivered to my house before the day is over, if you have to bring it yourself. And furthermore, I want that hole in my front yard filled in. Water commissioner, if my pipes freeze up, I'll sue you. I guess I told him. Hello? Why, you... He hung up.
What did he say, Uncle Mort?
Yes, nothing fit for ladies' ears, my dear. Wasn't even fit for mine. Where's Leroy?
Oh, he's over shoveling off Mrs. Ransom's walk.
Oh, Mrs. Ransom, eh? Maybe I ought to go help him.
He doesn't need any help, Uncle Mort. He's getting paid for it, you know.
Oh, say, I wonder if she's got any heat over there. I wonder what kind of a furnace she's got.
I really couldn't say, Uncle Mort.
I wonder if it's been converted. It'd be terrible if it hasn't.
Terrible?
Yeah. Maybe it's been converted and she hasn't got any coal. Oh, that would be just as bad.
Yes, it would.
Or maybe she's got coal and doesn't know how to start the furnace.
Uh-huh.
All alone there with no man in the house.
Yes.
Do you know what she ought to have?
Yes, a man.
No, some firewood. Maybe I ought to call up an order or something, huh?
Don't you think you ought to find out whether she's got any first?
Oh, that's a great idea, Marjorie. I'll go over there myself and find out. Thanks for the tip.
No, don't thank me. You were going anyway.
Where's my overcoat? Oh, here it is, right in the closet.
Button up tight now.
You know, I think I'll take her a few sticks of firewood just in case. I'll take these logs Leroy brought in.
There goes our fire.
Oh, my hat. Put it on my head, will you, my dear?
She likes you better in your air raid helmet.
I'll have the hat if you don't mind. You don't have to put it on at such a rakish angle. Put it on straight.
Oh, you look sweet that way. There you are. I'll open the door for you.
Thank you, my dear. Over the river and through the woods to Grandmother's house we go.
Hey,
the horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifting snow.
Hey, Marge, where's he going?
He's going next door to warm up Mrs. Ransom.
An angel of mercy with an armload of wood, he trudges up the walk to the Widow Ransom's door. Where whom should he meet but...
Hooker!
Gildersleeve, what mischief are you up to?
The same mischief you're up to, Horace.
I merely came over to make sure Mrs. Ransom has enough heat.
Yeah, so did I, and I've got some logs here to prove it.
I brought her a hot water bottle, so there.
Why don't you just go home, Judge? I'll take care of this.
Oh, no, you won't.
It's Horace.
Good morning.
And Throckmorton. Aren't you sweet to call? Come in, won't you?
After you, Throckmorton.
You said it.
Step inside so I can shut out that dreadful wind. Won't you let me take your things, gentlemen?
Allow me to hang them up.
Oh, thank you, Judge. Why, Throckmorton, what's this you brought me?
Wood for your fireplace.
For my fireplace? I declare you're the most... thoughtful man.
I brought you something, too, Mrs. Ransom. It's in one of my pockets here.
Yeah, the judge brought a hot water bottle in case his gout gets bad.
Well.
Hot water bottle, nothing. Blackberry cordial.
Blackberry cordial. Oh, I just love it. It's my favorite.
You sneaky old...
How did you know it was my favorite?
You didn't say anything about that.
Why, I haven't had any blackberry cordial since I left home. Come in by the fireplace, won't you? I've been trying to start a poor little old fire here, but all I had was newspapers, and I don't know a thing about fire.
Don't you worry, Mrs. Ransom. We'll soon have it blazing for you. Let's have those logs, Gildy.
Wait a minute. They're my logs.
No, Horace gets to lay the fire because he brought the cordial.
Oh.
I declare I don't know what I'd do without you boys. Because I'm just about frozen to death here. I haven't any furnace. I haven't any coal.
You haven't any coal?
No. I just never thought to order any, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to come over to my house. You're going to have lunch and dinner with us and spend the night. If Margie will put you up.
Oh, Throckmorton, you're so masterful.
Oh, am I?
Well, I hope you have a good time, Leela.
Yes, she will.
It's been some time since I've enjoyed a sample of Bertie's cooking.
Yes.
She's a fine cook.
You're wasting your breath, Hooker.
Of course, I haven't got any heat in my house either. But I dare say I'll get along.
Yeah, I dare say you will.
Oh, you poor thing. Throckmorton, did you hear that? The judge hasn't any heat in his house either.
That's a shame.
I know. Let's make it a house party, shall we? Oh, how about it, Judge?
All right with me if it's all right with Gildy.
Oh, he'd love to have you. I knew he would. Just the three of us. We can have more fun.
No fudge.
Fudge. We'll make fudge.
And full taffy.
Wonderful. Throckmorton, you think of the best party.
Yes, don't I? All right, Hooker, you can come to lunch, but that's all.
Had the most glorious afternoon.
Yeah, me too.
you know, this is the first snow I've ever seen in my whole entire life.
By golly, I love it, too. Makes me feel like a kid again.
Yeah. Oh, brother, hop on the sled, Leela, and I'll pull you.
Oh, no, I'm too heavy. You couldn't pull me.
Yeah, I could pull you with one finger. Come on, hop on.
Well, don't strain yourself now.
Yeah, that's right. Now, put up your little feet. Not you, Hooker. Come on, Hooker, get off of there.
I don't want you to get to fighting over me. And whatever you do, don't anybody try to wash my face with snow.
Huh?
I just couldn't stand it if you were to wash my face with snow.
By George, I've got half a notion to try.
Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, yes, I will.
Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, no. Come on, Judge. You hold her and I'll wash her face.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'll hold her and you wash her face. He fell in Clanahan's hole.
Get me out of this. Get me out of this. I'm freezing today.
Give me your hand, Judge.
Tread water, Judge. Tread water.
He doesn't have to. He's standing in mud. Come on, Judge. Jump. There. Oh, it's cold.
Oh, Judge, you're just a mess. Now, you better run right in the house before you catch your death.
Yes, come on in. Are you all right, Judge?
I'm not saying Gildersleeve till I see my lawyer.
Poor Judge fell in a hole.
Oh, stop your whining, you old goat.
Throckmorton. Now, Judge, you just lie in front of the fire till you get warm.
He's been lying there for hours. When's he going home?
Right now.
Ooh, my ankle.
Huh?
Oh, I'm afraid I've done something to it.
Oh, so it's your ankle now, is it?
I can't stand on it. Ooh!
Oh, you poor child.
Oh, the poor widow fellow.
Wiggy.
Oh, maybe that's the drugstore with the camp oil. I'll go.
Hooker, you're an old fake. There's nothing the matter with your ankle, and you know it.
What are you going to do about it, Gildy?
Oh, Mr. Peavy.
Good evening, Mrs. Ransom.
You brought the campfire?
Yes, or I trust you're not feeling indisposed.
Oh, no, it's for Judge Hooker here. He fell in a hole.
I'm sorry to hear that, Judge. How did it happen?
I was chasing. Never mind.
Hello, Peavy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Peavy, now the judge thinks there's something wrong with his ankle. I'd like to have you take a look at it and give us your expert opinion.
Ankle, eh?
Yes, it has all the earmarks of a fracture.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, in other words, you think it's all right?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that either.
Well, what would you say? Would you say it's sprained?
Well, you put me in a difficult position, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'm not a physician, you know. I'm a pharmacist.
All right. You've got a license, haven't you?
Well, I'm a notary public.
That's better than nothing, isn't it?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. You've got me a little mixed up.
All right, then, forget the license. Just answer me yes or no. Is there anything wrong with the judge's ankle, or isn't there?
Well, if you want to know...
Remember, Mr. Peavy, anything you say may be used against you.
Well...
Come on, Peavy, I'm just asking for your frank opinion, man to man. You are a man, aren't you?
Well, now I would...
Neither would I. Good night, Peavy. All right, Hooker, you can stay to dinner, but that's all.
Goodness gracious, 11 o'clock.
11? Oh, shank of the evening, Leela. Why, Marjorie isn't even in yet.
I must get my beauty sleep.
You couldn't be any more beautiful than you are, Leela.
That's true, Judge, but brother, is it corny?
Now, Throckmorton.
Huh?
But I really should be starting for my little old trundle bed.
Yeah, so should Hooker. Oh, I think I hear Marjorie outside. Yeah, shut the door, my dear.
Well, Marjorie, did you have a good time?
Oh, wonderful. An old-fashioned sleigh ride in October.
Certainly has put roses in your cheeks.
Yes, my dear. You look pretty enough to kiss. In fact, you look as if you had been.
Oh, well, some Lord with sharp eyes you have.
Yeah?
Well, I've got an early day tomorrow, so if you don't mind, I'll say goodnight. Good night, Judge.
Good night, Marjorie.
Good night, Mrs. Ransom.
Good night, honey, Charles.
Good night, Uncle Mort.
Good night, my dear. Sorry I can't drive you home, Judge, but I put my car up on blocks.
That's all right, Gildy. I'll get home somehow.
Now you can't go home tonight with that ankle. Throckmorton, you'll have to let Judge Hooker sleep in your den or someplace.
What? Thanks, Gildy. Awfully sorry to put you out, old man.
Well, I should be starting to bed. Could you show me my room, Throckmorton?
Could I? Let me have your satchel.
Thank you. Good night, Judge.
Good night.
Don't get up. I do hope your ankle will be much better in the morning.
Oh, I hope it will.
You know darn well it will.
Good night, Leela.
Good night. My, seems strange walking up these stairs with you, Throckmorton.
Does it, Leela? Seems to me very natural.
Really, Throckmorton? What do you mean by that?
How else would we get up there? here's my room, Leela. Your room.
Oh, what a nice room.
Yes, I put the bath towels here, and here's an extra pillow, and here's a nice warm quilt, and then in case it really gets chilly...
What?
I put an electric heating pad in your bed.
Well, that's just the sweetest thing I ever heard of.
If there's anything else you need...
Oh, I've got everything in my little bag, thank you.
Oh, well, then, good night, Leela.
Good night, Throckmorton.
Sure you don't want me to tuck you in?
Why, Throckmorton, you devil, you.
Yeah, I was only joking, of course. Good night, Leela. Oh, me. What an angel. I hope I dream about her tonight. All right, Hooker, let's get to bed. You take this couch and I'll take the leather one. Is this enough blankets for you?
I suppose so.
Well, then, good night. And please do me a favor.
What's that?
Don't snore.
I never do. Don't you lock the house up, Gildy?
I have.
I always go over before I go to bed to make sure.
Yeah? Well, you're a nervous old woman, you old goat.
I am not. But I know there's such a thing as burglars because I send half a dozen of them to jail every week.
Burglars? That's the idea. Can I turn the light out now?
Anytime.
Well, all right.
Oh, Gildy.
What is it?
Aren't you going to tuck me in?
Oh! I'll break your other ankle, Hooker. Now get to bed. Idea. Old goat. Oh, isn't that awful? Snoring already. Listen to that. What's that? Hooker's got me imagining things. Ooh, it's probably in the cellar. Oh, my goodness, there's nobody in the cellar. Come on, Gildy, you gotta be a hero. You gotta go down there and face it. By gosh, it is a burglar, all right. He's trying to get in that cellar window, right over there by the furnace. But I'm ready for him. When he comes through, I'll hit him with his poker. Aesop, quiet. Shh, quiet, cat. Aesop, go away. Shh. Oh, here he comes.
Whoa! Landslide! Help, murder! What's going on here?
You wasn't called, didn't you?
Flanahan!
You've been after me all day. You and the whole town. Well, here's your code. You can dig yourself out in the morning.
This program reached you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Great Gildersleeve, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 11th of October, 1942 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levillier. and now one of the many sitcoms to transition from radio to television with much success, although with different actors, it's the Meet Millie series. The show actually proved to be more popular on television, appearing in its early days, being one of the first series broadcast from CBS Television City in Hollywood, with its debut about a year and a half after the radio series took flight on July 2, 1951. And one of the few early television comedies that actually had the actors freeze in position while the audience was wrapping up their laughter. It was that popular. A broadcast from the radio series now from its first year, 1951, called The New Landlord.
And now, Meet Millie, transcribed and created by Frank Galen and starring Audrey Totter. Yes, it's time to say hello to Mama, played by Bea Benaderet, and Alfred, played by Marvin Kaplan, as once again we meet Millie. Well, the housing shortage in New York City is at least as bad as it is anyplace else, and apartments are as scarce as the proverbial hen's teeth. It is therefore easy to understand the anxious looks on the faces of Millie Bronson and her mother as we join them today, because it seems they face the possibility of being evicted.
Gee, you think the new landlord will really put us out, Mama? All I know is what Mr. Zawalkow told me. He wants to remodel some of the apartments, so he's going to evict the tenants that don't have leases. Well, that's us, kid. Let's start packing.
Millie, how can you joke about it? You know what it's like to find an apartment nowadays?
Cheer up, Mama. Don't let it get you down. Two go-getters like us can always find a place to live.
Honey, I'm tired. My go hasn't been getting for years.
Mom, I'm surprised at you.
I can't help it. I'm worried. Where can you find an apartment these days?
Oh, Mama, don't make it worse than it is. Apartments are hard to find, but it's not impossible. Here, let's look in the ads in the paper. I'll show you.
My innocent little baby.
A classified ad. Oh, Mama, here's lots of apartments for rent.
Wait till she finds out.
There's a long list of them. Let's see.
Well, she's got to learn sometime.
Two bedrooms, large sunny living room, near subway, rent.
Here it comes.
$200 a month, Mama.
The mother, honey.
I had no idea, Mama.
I know. It's been getting worse all the time. I've been following the ads.
There must be some cheaper apartments advertised. Let me look. 150, 100 and a quarter, 175, 100. Now we're getting someplace. That's only twice what we can afford. Yeah. The only thing I see here for less than $60 a month is desk space in a real estate office.
Let's grab it. We'll each curl up in a drawer.
Mom, it's no joke.
Finally you realize it, huh?
What are we gonna do?
I don't know.
Say, if the worst comes to the worst, we can move over into the YW.
That's okay for you, but I'm not so Y anymore. Do they have an OW?
Well, we still have our sense of humor, huh, Mama?
Yeah, two homeless jokesters.
Listen, something will show up, don't worry.
Come in.
Good morning, ladies.
Well, Alfred Prince Metal.
Hello, Alfred. How's the poet today?
Oh, I'm terribly depressed.
Why, Alfred?
Well, I woke up this morning with a feeling of great strength. I felt there was nothing I couldn't do. I jumped out of bed ready to lick the whole world.
So what happened?
I couldn't untie the knot in my pajama strip.
You mean you let a little thing like that make you feel bad?
You shouldn't be so sensitive, Alfred.
I can't help it. My soul vibrates like a harp in the wind.
Alfred, how poetic.
Where do you get the inspiration for such beautiful thoughts, Alfred?
Some of them come from deep within the heart. Some of them come from the infinity of space or the mystery of the dark night. This particular one I read in a book.
I thought you made it up.
So did I. I just remembered I didn't. I read so much poetry, you know, sometimes I get confused.
Does that happen to you very often?
Well, once in 1943, for 6 months, I thought I wrote Gunga Din. It was pretty depressing.
Alfred,
If you'll forgive me for saying it, what you need is a job to take your mind off your troubles. Yeah, or else start worrying about somebody else's troubles, like ours, for instance.
What trouble have you got?
We are being put out of our apartment, and we can't find another one that we can afford.
Say, that's a coincidence.
What is?
On my way over here just now, I passed an apartment house around the corner, and a man was hanging out an apartment for rent sign. $45 a month.
Alfred, are you sure? Around the corner?
I'm sure, all right.
Mama, what do you think?
I can't hear you. I'm around the corner taking the apartment.
This is the house.
Yeah, there's the sign. Two-bedroom apartment, $45.
Oh, it's too good to be true. Right in the same neighborhood and everything.
Yeah, it says rental agent, apartment one. Let's go.
Oh, I hope it isn't taken.
Me too.
Why don't you let me handle this for you? I'm a wonderful businessman.
Alfred, the last time I let you handle a business deal for me was when I bought my vacuum cleaner. Now I'm the only woman in the neighborhood who has to make her monthly payments weekly.
You hate me.
Please, Alfred, behave yourself.
Yeah, here's apartment one.
I hope he's in.
Yes?
We came about the apartment.
Has it been taken yet?
No, it hasn't. This is the apartment, two bedrooms. Come on and look at it, see if you like it.
Is the rent $45?
Yes.
We love it.
We'll take it. I'm Millie Bronson. This is my mother.
Oh, come now. Things aren't quite that simple, you know. First of all, how many in your family?
Just the two of us.
My mother and myself.
It comes to two. Count us, you'll see. One, two.
Mama.
Huh?
I had already done the addition mentally. I have a photographic mind. Well, you people look to me like very desirable tenants.
Oh, we are, we are, we are.
You can check with our former landlord. We live around the corner now.
Oh, I think I could take your word for it. You don't look like the sort who would damage the premises.
As a matter of fact, we improve the property artistically.
How's that?
No help, Alfred, I beg of you.
I just wanted to tell him about that mural I painted on the living room wall.
What was that?
It was nothing. Alfred, why don't you go out in the street and smell exhaust pipes?
Now, not so fast. You painted something on the living room wall?
It just happened once. He wanted to surprise us. About the lease.
He painted something on your living room wall?
We don't even know him.
No. No, he followed us here. Shoo, boys, get...
You mean you allowed this fellow to paint on the wall of your living room?
There was nothing to make a fuss about. It came off very easily with sandpaper and a blowtorch.
What a sense of humor he has.
Who is this fellow?
Alfred E. Prinsmetal, painter, sculptor, and poet. I'm a poet mostly.
Oh, really? What kind of poems do you write?
Listen. I'll recite my latest creation. Lament for a stick of chewing gum.
Alfred, he didn't ask for a sample.
I can't stop now. It'd ruin my nervous system.
No, no, let him go. He fascinates me.
Thank you. Alas, proud stick of double mint or tutti frutti. Little you know what awful fate awaits your beauty. As you stand so slim and smooth, I must confess, I'm gonna chew on you until you're a mess. And when your flavor is gone and you're old and beat, I'll stick you under a movie seat. The end.
Okay, I give up. Is he a stupid human being or a brilliant ape?
We don't know. Bye, Alfred.
I'd like to recite another poem.
Down, Alfred, down, boy.
How about the apartment?
I'm very busy now. Come back next week.
But why? What happened? What did we do? Is it Alfred?
Well, yes. You see, the fellow who just bought this building gave me strict orders. I can't rent to people with pets.
But Alfred isn't an animal.
Get a note from the zoo to that effect and we'll talk business. Goodbye now.
Nice fella.
Oh, Alfred, why couldn't you have kept quiet?
You really need an apartment of your own, and I'm going to find you one right now. I'll see you later.
What do you think, Millie? Is there a chance he might find something?
I don't know. It's the first time I ever heard of a vacancy looking for a vacancy.
Well, good afternoon, Miss Bronson.
Hello, Johnny. I was apartment hunting with Mom. I'm sorry I'm late. Right now, I'm too worried about finding a place to live.
Well, you'll find something.
We almost had one this morning, but Alfred ruined it for us.
Alfred? Is he still around? I thought he left for Harvard to study art. What happened?
Well, they didn't like him at first, so they gave him a test, and it showed that he's brilliant.
No fooling. Did they take him?
No. They threw out the test.
He's quite a character, that Alfred.
Yeah. But I wish we hadn't taken him along to look at that apartment.
Yes, that's a shame.
Yes, it is. I can't afford any of the apartments I've seen on my salary. Say, Johnny, what do you think the chances are of me getting a raise from your father?
Surely you're joking. Do you know what happened to the last secretary that asked him for a raise?
No. What happened?
Let us bow our heads.
Oh, Johnny.
Well, seriously, he's been known to pass out cold at the mere thought of spending money.
Well, I'll have to take a chance. I'm desperate. Mr. Boone?
I'm sorry. A raise is out of the question.
Well, how did you know I was going to ask for a raise?
Miss Bronson, I have an infallible system for telling when a woman wants money from me.
A system?
Yeah, I look at her. If she's a woman, she wants money. Oh, I'm being very unfair. What do you want, Miss Bronson?
Mr. Boone, I hate myself for this, but I want a raise.
You say you wanted a raise, Miss Bronson?
Yes, I did.
A raise in your salary?
That's the kind of raise I had in mind, yes.
I'm sorry, Miss Bronson. My answer is no.
But, Mr. Boone, everything is going up.
I gave you my answer. Now, if you'll excuse me.
My goodness, Mr. Boone, the way you act about money. Don't you know you can't take it with you?
Just between us, Miss Bronson. When I feel myself going, I plan to swallow it.
You know he's the boy that can do it.
Well, Millie and Mama's housing problem grows more acute by the minute. The new landlord is going to evict them at the end of the month, and their prospects of finding a place to live don't look very bright. As we visit the apartment now, it's 5:30 p.m., Millie hasn't come home from work yet, and Mama seems to be coping with the big problem on the telephone.
Hello? I'm calling with regard to your ad in this afternoon's paper. Boarding by the month, $40, including meals. Have you got a vacancy? You have? Could you accommodate my daughter and me? We'd... No? Why not? Oh. Oh, yeah, I see that now. I'm sorry. How did I get over here under dog kennels? See if there's anything else. I call that one. Come in.
Hey, Mrs. Bronson.
Yeah?
I am J. Sylvester Blake, the new owner of this building.
Oh, come in, Mr. Blake. Come in. It's an honor to see you, sir.
Thank you. As you probably know, I'm planning to evict you at the end of the month.
Fun, huh?
Some landlords are very apologetic about evicting tenants, but I'm different.
I can see.
I just left a woman with three children, one of them sick. Any other landlord wouldn't have dared tell her to get out. But I let her have it right between the eyes. I told the kids, too. If the sick one was sleeping, I'll go back later and tell him.
That's real brave of you.
Yeah, I don't like to pussyfoot around. I said to myself, if a thing has to be done, it has to be done.
That's what you said to yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
What a pity such a brilliant remark had such a small audience.
Thank you, Mrs. Bronson.
You're welcome. Yeah. Mr. Blake, look, could you let us have another month, just till the end of February, to look for another apartment, huh?
I don't think so, Mrs. Bronson. Besides, I should think you'd be very anxious to get out of here. The super tells me you complain constantly.
Who, me?
complain about this palace? I love every square inch of the place.
Well, according to the super, you've been complaining for weeks that the ceiling leaks over your dining room table.
Complain about that leak? Oh, I should say not. We enjoy it. It makes dinner very interesting. It takes 4 hours to empty your soup plate.
Good, yes. I admire a sense of humor in a person. That's because I have such a Jim Dandy myself. Always see the humor in any situation.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's why you enjoy evicting people so much.
By George, you may have something there.
Sure. Tell me something. When you're not evicting, what do you do for laughs? Ride an ambulance?
I don't know how to take that, Mrs. Bronson.
It was a joke. Laugh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't get it.
Listen, Mr. Blake, this is a real hardship on my daughter and me. Rents have gone up so much, and we can't afford to move. Would you please reconsider about putting us out at the end of the month, please, Mr. Blake, pretty please?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's out of the...
Oh, hello, Millie.
Hello, Mama.
Well, what have we here? Hello, my dear. Yes, indeed.
I knew the wolf was at the door, but who let him in the house?
Millie, this is Mr. Blake. Mr. Blake, my daughter, Millie.
Yes, indeed. Will you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner with me tomorrow?
Look, mister, I don't know who you are.
Millie, Mr. Blake.
I'm tired. I had a hard day, and I'm in no mood to cope with a middle-aged high school boy.
Well, I must say.
Okay, if you must, but say it outside.
Millie, honey, Mr.
Obviously,
Blake...
Obviously, I'm not wanted here.
Thank goodness. There's one type of man I can't stand. It's an overage tugboat who thinks it's a destroyer.
Millie, you know who that was?
Tell me.
J. Sylvester Blake, our new landlord.
What? Oh, no, Mama, what did I do?
I was getting along with him so well before you came to.
Oh, I'm so stupid. I feel like banging my head against the wall.
You better hurry up while we still got a wall.
He liked me, too. Maybe it'd have been nice to me to change his mind about evicting us.
That's right. It may not be too late yet.
What do you mean?
Listen, I can get him to come back here tomorrow.
I'm all dressed, Mama. Do I look glamorous?
Wait, you could stand a little more Maybelline. That's it. Now, when he comes, you take him right into the living room. I'll come in from time to time in case he gives you trouble.
Don't be silly. He's past the dangerous age.
Millie, honey, a man isn't past the dangerous age until 4 days after he dies.
The description fits Mr. Blake perfectly.
Yeah. Now, listen, just flatter him a lot and make him keep his distance without hurting his feelings. And there he is now. Let him in, Millie. I'll run into the kitchen, huh?
Okay. Coming.
Hello.
Well, it's Mr. Blake. Come in, won't you? I'm so glad you could make it.
Well, I really shouldn't have after the way I was treated yesterday.
Oh, Mr. Blake, I'm so sorry about that. You know what I think it was that made me act that way?
You know what?
I felt your terrific magnetic appeal and I was fighting it.
Really? Go on.
I mean it.
You know, you just explained to me why so many girls won't have anything to do with me. They're fighting my magnetic appeal.
That must be it. Shall we sit down?
Oh, Miss Bronson, you're wonderful. J. Sylvester Blake says so.
Millie Bronson, thanks, J. Sylvester Blake.
And now that you know you can't fight me, shall we get a little cozier, as it were?
Back up, Mr. Blake. We're putting too much strain on one sofa cushion.
Hey, don't call me Mr. Blake. To you, I'm just plain J. Sylvester.
Thanks. Would you think I was awfully bold if I called you Jay?
Well, it's daring, but go ahead.
Jay, I'd like to talk to you about evicting us from the apartment.
Oh, I see. I wonder if that could be why you wanted to see me.
Oh, no. No, it was your powerful masculine appeal, your dark eyes, your strong chin.
Oh, you make me sound so good! Tell me more.
I think men of your age are so much more interesting than live ones.
You should.
I mean young ones.
Do you really?
Would I say so if I didn't mean it?
Of course, but fool me, fool me!
And Mr. Blake, we're putting a strain on that cushion again.
I don't care. I want to be near you. I want to put my arms around you.
About that eviction, Mr. Blake.
I want to drink in your perfume.
Just a second. I'll get your cup full.
Come back here. Don't leave me now that we found each other.
I wasn't lost. Mr. Blake. Mr. Blake.
You're so lovely, so feminine.
Mr. Blake. Raisins on top.
Curses, spoiled again.
Here's some nice hot coffee, too. Why, Mother, what a lovely idea.
Yeah.
Have a cookie, Mr. Blake?
No, thank you.
Well, how are you two kids getting along in here? Would you like to watch television? The wrestling matches are on Channel 3. That's not the only place. That's what I thought. Mr. Blake, would you like me to bring in a dish of fruit? Or isn't that the dish you're interested in? Mama. Millie, shouldn't you be sitting closer to Mr. Blake?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't. Millie, dear, be nice to Mr. Blake. We don't want him to be put out. Because if he is, we are. Mom, I got an idea. You stay here and we'll both be nice to him.
This has gone far enough, ladies.
What?
Obviously, you two have cooked up this little evening for just one purpose. I suppose it means a lot to you not to be put out of this apartment at the end of the month, huh?
Oh, Mr. Blake, if you only knew.
We're worried sick about it.
Well, J. Sylvester Blake is going to break one of his own rules and change his mind.
How wonderful. When you see him, thank him.
Yes, and I'll only raise your rent $8.
$8. Now, listen here, Mr. Blake.
Really easy. We have no choice, huh?
I'll be fair with you all around. I'll only charge you $10 for the damage you did to the linoleum in the kitchen.
What damage? That linoleum was already ripped when we moved in.
But I spent a fortune repairing it, and by careless walking, you scraped off all the scotch tape.
Wait a minute, you chiseler.
Honey, easy.
I demand an apology for that, Miss Bronson.
Well, you're not going to get it. Millie, remember? Roof over our heads. Cold outside, bed to sleep in.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Blake.
Apology accepted. Oh, I'm having a lot of fun. Now, let me see. What else can I stick you with?
Someone's at the door. Excuse me, Mr. Blake.
Excuse the both of us.
Go ahead. I'll be dreaming up some goodies.
Mom, I can't stand him. He's the meanest man I ever saw.
What are we going to do, honey? We can't get an apartment like this anywhere for under $80.
I know, but for just a second, I'll open the door.
Hello, girl.
Alfred.
It never rains, but it pours.
She hates me, but it's okay. I have great news for you.
What, Alfred?
You know that apartment we looked at yesterday for $45?
Yeah?
You can have it. I went back and spoke to the rental agent. He took a liking to me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Alfred, your doll, I could kiss you.
If you do, I'll scream. I saw the landlord of the building. He wants to meet you first before he gives you the lease, but that's just a formality.
Alfred, I don't know how to thank you. We must reward you.
Don't make it anything elaborate. Money'll do.
Okay, Alfred, you wait here. We have to get rid of somebody in the living room, huh, Millie?
Is this going to be a pleasure?
I'll choose you for who gets first crack at him.
I work harder than you did.
Okay, you go first.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah, we're back, you...
Oh, hold it, Mama. Wait for your turn.
And while you were gone, I thought of a few items. You'll have to pay for having the walls repapered. I don't like this color. And I'm going to charge you for... You're not paying attention.
I know. We were just admiring your looks, Mr. Blake.
My looks?
Yeah. Isn't he gorgeous, Millie?
Yeah.
He has a beautiful chin. Just like, what's that movie star?
Trigger.
What?
That's right. And his head is shaped just like Pigeon.
Walter Pigeon?
Yes, just any ordinary Pigeon.
Now, you stop that.
He really should be in movies. He's built just like Van.
If that's a moving van, I'm leaving.
Have some coffee before you go, Mr. Blake. I'll get you a cup. We won't need a cup.
Hey, look out! Oh, no, don't! Oh!
Look how nice his lap soaks it up. Say we forgot the cream. Allow me.
Hey, let me out of here. Let me out of here.
Oh, must you go?
Yes, and you're going at the end of the month. I'm going to put you right out on the sidewalk. I'll show you.
Billy, did you see his face?
Yeah, he's going to put us out. Isn't that a scream?
Wait till he finds out we have an apartment around the corner.
Say, I didn't know you knew Mr. Blake. I would have told him you were the tenants for his apartment.
No, Alfred, Mr. Blake owns this house.
I know. He owns the one around the corner, too. He bought the whole block.
Millie, hold me. I'm going to faint. I bet I beat you to the floor.
Glad we were able to talk Mr. Blake into letting us stay in the apartment.
Yeah, after what we did to him, I thought he'd let us off very easy.
I did, too. The 6 months will fly like no time.
Yeah. When he finished polishing his shoes, you can give me a hand with his shorts.
On tonight's transcribed show were Rye Bilsberry as Mr. Boone Jr., Earl Ross as Mr. Boone Sr., Frank Nelson as the landlord, and Bob Sweeney as the rental agent.
Meet Millie on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from 1951. Wrapping up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.